morning, everybody. This is WTBR's Morning Drive. My name is Bill Sturgeon. I am going to be with you for about 55 minutes today. It's a lovely day in the neighborhood. That's all I'm going to say. We are recording this on Thursday. What is today? The 4th, 5th. Thursday the 5th. I'm here today with our first snowfall. Yes. Significant. Here's the issue before I get to my guest. We have to put the toters on the side of the road. Works well when there's no snow. Then we have the plows trying to plow the snow with the toters on the side of the road. So anyhow, I have to take my hat off to everyone involved with this. You're doing a great job. I know you'll get ridiculed, but you know what? Let it roll off your back because you're doing the best you can and you're doing a great job. And my special hat's off to the guys and gals with Casella. I can't say anything bad about you. You're making it work. As they used to say in the military, improvise and overcome. All right, now without further ado, foie gras, soup du jour. My friend, Tim Jones, he's been on the show. He's changed. Well, actually, he's grown up. He first started coming on when he was in high school, and then he went off to the New York City, went to college, got a really sophisticated degree. I can't even spell what it is. So, and now he's an actor, singer, and he's got a show coming up at the Colonial. Please, please attend if you can. Tim, good morning. How are you?
I'm well, Bill. Good morning. Nice to see you. I hope driving there. I'm in New York right now. We got zero snow.
Oh, yeah.
But it sounds like you guys got a couple of inches back home. So hopefully getting on the road wasn't too bad this morning.
Yeah. No, I haven't been on the road and don't intend to be unless I have to be.
Fantastic.
That's one of the luxuries is you should share with your father. One of the luxuries of being retired.
Well, maybe in another 30 years, he'll consider it.
Yeah, I know. He's a beauty. He's a great guy. So, Tim, bring us up to speed. What's happened since you left high school?
Well, since leaving high school. So I went to school to become an engineer.
Right.
And I ended up getting my master's in aerospace. But during that time, I sort of started to feel like I was actually looking to go into the arts. And I, of all people that I could think to call up, I called up the Berkshire Theater Group just because I was having a conversation with a friend of mine, Caroline Fairweather, who was
a kid for years. Yeah, great.
And she's doing incredible things in New York now.
Yep.
But we met, we were doing the math on this. It was 2012. We were doing a Christmas Carol. When a Christmas Carol was in the Colonial, they had put it in the Colonial like the year before or 2 years before I showed up, I think, because it had historically been in the Unicorn Theater.
Right.
And I showed up in 2012. And that was sort of my like initiation into the Berkshire Theater Group. I was in high school at the time. I didn't really know what I wanted to do. And I remember when Kate McGuire, someone mentioned to her in a different room that I was going to be going to college to become an engineer. And she like stopped everything and ran out into the garage, the lobby of the Colonial Theater. And she grabbed me by both shoulders and she said, "What do you mean you're going to be an engineer? What are you talking about?" She said, "I'll take you to New York. I'll drive you to auditions." And I said, "I don't know, Kate. It makes sense. I thought it was a good idea." And then, of course, years later, I went. She was right. She was absolutely right. And I ended up here by virtue of all of the opportunity that Kate McGuire and Berkshire Theater Group provided me. After I made that phone call, I said, "Listen, I really want to become a part of this thing, this theater thing. I think I'm really in love with it, and I want to see how far I can push this envelope." And they said, come do stuff with us. And every time they had me do a little bit more and a little bit more, and it went well and it kept going well. And then eventually it made it so that it made sense for me to be here, which I'm grateful for and I'm thankful for. And, you know, I'm very fortunate. I'm very blessed in that. And it's all thanks to them. It's every single centimeter of it is thanks to them.
Well, that's nice of you to acknowledge that. You know, sometimes, as you probably found out in that career field, people congratulate themselves more than the people who help them go up the ladder. You know, I think back. I who am I to say? But I think you made the right decision. You know, you always have that backup degree, but you are a very entertaining, and I mean that in the most complimentary way, person when you're on stage. You really know how to portray it. I don't think I've missed any of the Colonials, even when they were at the Unicorn. Then they came up here. It was a Christmas thing for us when my son was growing up. But now you're coming to do your own show here next week.
I am. Yeah, I'll be in town on
Friday. This week, actually.
Yeah.
This week.
The 13th, Friday, Friday night. I'm going to be back there. I reached out to them over the summer, and I had just had this thought of, I don't know. It feels like the way that I want this evening to be is sort of indicative of those sorts of like Rat Pack concerts. I mean, and God knows I wasn't born until 1996. So it was well before my time of these, like smoky jazz bar soiree situations.
Yeah.
But I've spent some time here in the city for the last 2 years. I've been working for Sleep No More. And there's an element of that show that includes a jazz bar. And a lot of what I've done for the last 2 years, I got to know and work with some immensely experienced and talented jazz performers. One of them ended up becoming my piano teacher. And he's been sort of walking me through the large blocks of jazz over the last, we've been working together for like almost a year now on just piano, but I learned so much from these guys.
Yeah.
And I got to thinking just over the course of a few years of working with them and doing music with them and learning about the art form and really, really loving it. I was sort of a strange high schooler in that I would give some friends, I would give like a friend from Taconic a ride sometimes. Right. And I drove this old 2007 Nissan Versa that had a Frank Sinatra greatest hit CD in it at all times. And every time I'd give him a ride, he would sort of turn to me in the passenger seat and he would say, "Tim, why is it always Christmas in your car?" Like it's just music that historically like a 17-year-old doesn't listen to. But I always loved that music. And I really, really like the holidays are my favorite time of year. And I just wanted to see if we could put an evening together of just doing that music. A lot of the music that I grew up with in my household, we have one of those 5-track CD players in my folks' place that has the Tony Bennett CD, the James Taylor Christmas CD, the Nat King Cole CD, Kenny G's holiday album. Yeah. And then I want to say it's Bette. It's Barbara Streisand's Christmas CD. And those five just sit in it all year, and the play button gets hit once a year. Mm-hmm. But it's the music I grew up with around the holidays. So I just thought, why don't we get something together and let's get the money to some people who need it and just see what we can do with it. So BTG is going to be using the ticket proceeds to go into their kids programs that service a lot of underprivileged kids in the villages to have access to theater and arts education. And then we're working with the sheriff's office to attach Toys for Tots drive to it so that we can get some gifts to kids who otherwise might not be in a position to get some gifts this year. So we want this to be an evening that serves people who need a little bit of help, especially around the holidays, because, you know, they're not as fortunate as the rest of us are.
Yeah. And you know, there's just something about a live show. You know, I mean, people love movies, and I love movies and but there's just something about going to a live performance that it'll never be the same. I don't care if it's the same play and they do it 4,000 times.
Mm-hmm.
It's never the same. There's always
yeah.
some. But and folks, well, Tim's going to tell you it's Friday the 13th. What time does it start?
It's going to start at 7:30.
7:30 Friday the 13th, starting at 7:30. It's a fundraiser for kids. The Colonial will give the money to the education piece, the Toys for Tots. I mean, we talked about this the other day. It is the time of being thankful and giving. And a lot of people, we just had our fund drive, Tim.
Oh, yeah.
Alan Harris, who's from Berkshire Money Management,
mm-hmm.
he donated $5,000, and that was phenomenal. Thank you, Alan.
Yeah.
But we had people doing $5 and $10 because that's what they could afford. And, you know, that means as much to us because it shows you're interested in keeping the station on air. And same with Tim. Tim comes up. He lives in New York. He's on Broadway, off Broadway, standing on Broadway, maybe Hell's Kitchen. I don't know. But he's a local guy who's really plugging away at being very successful in the theater. Is that fair to say, Tim?
I think that I have a lot of, I mean, like I was saying earlier, I am just, it's a gift to me that I have access to this opportunity.
Yeah, absolutely.
And that's a function of a lot of my situation. I'm very fortunate to have been given the life that I have been given, but also acknowledging that there are a lot of folks who, you know, the only quote unquote crime they've committed is that they weren't born into the like right family or the right situation.
Right. Whatever. Right. They haven't, right.
It's that they have no control over that. And any attempt that they have to improve their situation, they weren't dealt the same deck of cards that a lot of us were dealt. And, you know, I just believe that it's our role as people who were dealt a full deck of cards to use our opportunity to help lift the people who are around us up. And and it's kind of why I was so excited to do this at home, because it's members of our community. It's people who live, it's the kids programs are giving access to arts education to kids that we know, like, kids whose parents we're friends with, who are in our communities and our schools. And there are a lot of these kids, they will become so many of the next several decades great artists, so long as they have access to the opportunity to become that. And I'm very fortunate that I was able to have that access to that opportunity with Berkshire Theater Group. And that's a pretty one-to-one deal right there, because that's the reason why I have it, because I asked them and they said yes. And there's a lot of kids out there that are going to fall in love with Shakespeare. They're going to they just don't know it's there yet.
That's right.
And that was me once upon a time. I just had no idea any of this stuff existed.
Yeah. I think that's, and it's good for the kiddos that are watching this show too. Never let anybody squash your dreams. We don't know. Our dreams evolve with us. You know, when you're a little kid, you dream about being whatever, an astronaut or whatever.
Sure.
Then all of a sudden you come back and you say, you know, let me try this Shakespeare and Company thing. They're doing a Taconic, or let me be in the play. This guy is living proof of why we need to keep the arts and the band and all the things in school, because while he's an engineer, or as we used to say, an engineer, he's following his dream, his passion, and knock on wood, it's really working out for you.
Bill, can I tell you a story about Shakespeare and Company?
Sure.
So I went to St. Joseph's, right? St. Joe's High School.
Yeah.
And St. Joe wasn't part of the Fall Festival of Shakespeare.
Right.
It was this thing that I didn't really know was a thing until my high school girlfriend was a student at Taconic, and she was taking part in Fall Festival of Shakespeare, and I said I haven't really, maybe I read Romeo and Juliet or something once. And I went to go see them do, I want to say it was Much Ado About Nothing. I went to go see it at Taconic because they put the show up in Taconic and then they would move it over to the Tina Packer Playhouse for the Fall Festival and do it there. And I don't remember if it was Much Ado About Nothing or if it was the year after that. I can't quite recall what play it was, but I saw both. I went, I saw it at Taconic. And then when I went to the Fall Festival of Shakespeare and I saw all these like young people who were having the most fun of their entire lives. And they were all like my peer group. They were all 16, 17-year-olds. And I was mesmerized. I was in awe of this event, of all of these people who were, they were cheering for the Shakespeare plays as though it were like a gladiators stadium. It was this insane moment. And I was so enthralled by it. And I just knew, I said, I want to be a part of this. But because I was part of St. Joe, I didn't really know how to be a part of it. So, and I don't know if me admitting to this will get me into trouble with anybody, but I pretended to be a Taconic student
That's
the
fine.
next year so that I could be a part of Taconic's Fall Festival of Shakespeare. I did King Henry IV. I
Wow.
played the Prince of France, and I
Wow.
was murdered on stage. And I was married in that play to Caroline Fairweather, who played Cordelia.
Wow.
And I got to be a part of this thing. And it was just, it felt like it was the most important thing I was doing. I was
Yeah.
part of this like gladiator tournament that I had seen in a year, the year prior. And I just pretended to go to Taconic so that I could be in the play. And I wrote my college essay about that. And
Wow.
I think the only reason why I got into WPI is because they don't read college essays. I think that had something to do with it. But I wrote for engineering schools, I was writing my college application essay about doing the Fall Festival of Shakespeare because it was just like, it was the happiest I had been.
Wow.
It was just truly, truly incredible.
It and I have him on all the time. Alan Burroughs, who's the artistic director at Shakespeare. And I will tell you too that when you experience that at Shakespeare and Company, the big fall, I mean, it's just something. And I'm an old man. I forget where I parked the car, but I don't forget being down there, because here are all these kids so excited, like you just said, ready to go, right? And about Shakespeare, right? And when you tell some of my age, because the great former chairperson of the school committee and educator Kathy Yan, she got me involved with Shakespeare because when I went through school, we read it, and it was down. I could have been Juliet. It was however who I was the next in line. And Kathy made an important thing, and I say this all the time in deference to her, in respect for her. Shakespeare was never meant to be read. It was meant to be acted. And when you go to Shakespeare and Company, or you go to Taconic, or you go to any of these schools that are doing it, you will see it.
Well, that was kind of what opened my eyes to it, right? Because
Yeah.
up to that point, I was just a teenager who was sort of being forced to read this archaic, it was even, it even seems to be more archaic than like the, I mean, I went to Catholic school, the Bible, right? Because the Bible was at least written in an English that seemed a little more modern in a way
Yeah.
than Shakespeare, like Elizabethan text. So I was always confused. I didn't really get it. And whatever it was that the instructors at the time, like we weren't working with Shakespeare dictionaries, and maybe they were able to answer some questions on like, well, what, why does this word exist here? What does it mean? And they might
Right.
not have known. But then I came into this space where watching it, where there were people who were my social group, like my age group, who were working with folks who could teach them what the words mean and why they're being said, and seeing them embodying that in such an electric and alive way, it sort of like expanded my mind. And I was in watching the play. I said, this makes sense to me. I understand what's happening right now. And that was an experience that had sort of been unlocked in that moment. It was sort of restricted prior to that point because it was just the words on the page. I didn't really know how to translate them. But then seeing it happening, and then seeing it happening with people who were, because it would be one thing if I were seeing like an adult troupe where I'd be like, well, that must be like a grown-up thing. I don't really get it.
Right.
But seeing it be other kids was the moment of being, that could be me. I could do that. I can do that. Look at how much fun they're having. I want to be having that much fun.
That's right.
And it just sort of really opened my eyes to this group of young people who now many of the people from those social groups are like, they're in New York now.
Yeah.
They it's just the natural progression of those artists. It's, and they're doing amazing things. They're working in the arts, and it's a lot of these things. Those were those foundational moments. And it certainly was for me. I developed this newfound love for something that previously was just like confusing.
And yeah, and you know, what they do in, like you said, for older people, but when you see kids, high school kids, this committed, this excited, with the skill, I mean, that's what got me. It wasn't a high school performance. It was a Shakespearean performance.
Mm-hmm.
Ranked very high. So, I'm glad you did that. Sometimes you have to improvise and overcome. So, you know, you were St. Joe in the morning and Taconic in the afternoon. That's
hard. Yeah. Well, the thing, the first time I ever really stepped foot into the theater was because of Lillian Quinn.
Yeah.
And she created this monster is sort of what I like to say. And she'll happily stand by that. She'll laugh anytime I say that to her. But it's, I sort of went into her office to audition for the spring musical because there was a girl that I had a crush on that was in the musical. And I said, well, okay, I can do it too. That's that way I can be around her more. Like that was the reason why I first stepped foot into this thing. Yeah. But it was, that was something I had access to. And I think that's why it's really, really important for these programs to exist for kids that are in the Berkshires, because it provides them access to step into this world and sort of live in it a little bit. And more often than not, they're going to realize that like the arts are fun and they're important. And they show us that there exist lives beyond our own. And crazy as it might be, there might be something that we could all learn about that and learn from the fact that there are experiences that are not just our own and that we have agency over our own lives the way that other people have expressed change in theirs. And I think it's a really, really good thing for a person while they're young to interact with that concept, because even if they don't go into the arts and become an artist, those concepts and that kind of relationship with art, I believe, is just creates, you know, more robust adults.
Well, and the other piece, just I've shared this on the couple of things I've shared on the air before. I when we were at Taconic, this radio station, I interviewed a young lady who said that, well, she went to Taconic and this is her description of herself. I was a wallflower. I was very shy. Mm-hmm. But friends of hers encouraged her to go on Shakespeare and Company. Or no, maybe just one of the plays. I can't remember which. But she ended up with Shakespeare and Company.
Yeah.
But she worked backstage. And then the bug. So she tried a little part, then a bigger part. And she said to me, and I'll never forget this, and why I'm a big supporter of the arts, is she said, if I hadn't made that first step to be backstage person, I would have never had the ability to come on this radio program.
Yeah, yeah, sure.
You know, and I thought, boy, you know, that's a big gold star to the people who stand by when the budgets get tight.
Mm-hmm.
We just can't cut things because we don't think they're of educational benefit. Not we, but some people. The other one, I say this to every actor that comes on And if I said it to you before, just remember what you're dealing with here. I don't remember where the car is.
I'll remind you. Don't worry.
All right. Thanks. I have a friend who's vision impaired. And I had some tickets and I gave him. And he went to this show. And I'll never forget two things he told me. He was a jokester, too. But he said, I said, how was the show? What'd you think of the show? He said, oh, the music was unbelievable. The singing was tremendous. And the dancing. Now, he's vision impaired. I said, oh, you're busting me again. No, he said, Bill, all kidding aside, ready? I could feel the movement.
Mm-hmm.
So I leave you with that seed. And the other one was going back to Shakespeare. The same person told me when he's in a play, he's listening. So he said to me, will you go down to your Shakespeare place, close your eyes and just listen. And boy, what a difference that makes.
Sure, yeah.
It goes right into the brain.
Yeah, yeah. And I think that's a great demonstration, Bill, of the fact that art is for everybody.
Everybody.
Everybody. It doesn't matter who you are, when you were born, where you came. Like, art is a deeply human experience. There's a reason why we do it. There's something somewhere in us, there's something wrong with us that is the reason why we have to keep doing this thing.
Yeah.
It's expressive. It's part of it. It's like a sixth sense. It's just part of us. And we've always known how to do it.
Yeah.
For tens of thousands of years.
And I have to take my hat off to Kate McGuire, who made the Colonial Theater open to everyone,
mm-hmm.
not just the power elite. I know when it first opened, it was on really shaky ground and financing. But Kate opened the door, and they had, what was it, Redneck something or other, and they brought one of the guys in from that, and they sold out three shows.
Mm-hmm.
So that showed that showed what you just said. The theater is for everyone, not for the social elite or whatever. I love going there and seeing just people.
Sure.
You know, and
yeah.
Enjoying the plays, enjoying the performances. And I will say this before we go to break to parents. If your kiddos are interested, even if they're not, expose them, and they use community shows. The Colonial does it all the time. They interview audition kiddos. And
mm-hmm.
And the other piece that I want to say, and Tim is a living example of this, you have to have resiliency. You have to have stick-to-itiveness, and you have to be dedicated to your, because it's what he's doing is not an easy road to hoe. It is. I mean, there's everybody wants to be De Niro, but not everybody gets to be De Niro. Thank God. But anyhow, we're going to take a break. We'll be back. This is Tim Jones, Friday the 13th, 7:30 at the Colonial in the Garage. You're going to see Tim. When we come back, he's going to talk about what kind of a show he's going to put on. And here's the thing. Here's a guy, St. Joe graduate. He's some kind of big engineer, astrophysicist. I don't know what he is. But he's got a big engineering degree from Worcester. And he's in New York as an actor. And he's making it. But Tim will tell you when we come back, too. You got to stay with it. You can't just drive into New York and think, I'm here. And they'll go, you and 50,000 other people. We'll be right back. This is WTBR 89.7 FM on your radio dial. We are simulcasting on PCTV channel 1301. We'll be right back. Please stay tuned. It's an interesting show because it's real people. It's not somebody else. Tim's a real person from Pittsfield and a Pittsfield family. We'll be right back.
Stay tuned for more Morning Drive here on WTBR FM.
Hey, it's Sean from WTBR-FM. Whether you just found this station for the first time or you've been listening for years, you might not know everything about WTBR-FM. Want to find out more? It's easy. Just go to WTBRFM.com. You can find full programming schedules, listen to the station anywhere in the world, subscribe to our podcasts, and even learn to create a program of your own. And of course, donate to the station. That's WTBRFM.com. Check it out today.
Greetings, this is John Pollock, host of The Jazz Train, which comes your way every Saturday night from 10 to 11:30. The Jazz Train generally features music recorded on a particular calendar date in years past and provides relevant commentary and discographical details. So why not join me for a ride on The Jazz Train for a weekly musical adventure, coming to you on 89.7 WTBR-FM, Pittsfield Community Radio.
You have chosen wisely.
WTBR. And now back to the morning drive on WTBR-FM, Pittsfield Community Radio.
We're back. Here's my friend. His name is Tim Jones. He's an actor, singer, and dancer. He can do it all. He's also a Pittsfield resident, a graduate of St. Joseph's High School. He has a great family, and he's now living in New York, and he's starring, or not starring, but he's involved with the theater in New York. But here's the good news. On Friday, December 13th at 7:30, you can see Tim live in the garage area of the Colonial Theater, and it's a fundraiser for the educational department because Tim realized he started in Christmas Carol a long time ago. And that was kind of the seed that blossomed into this actor that we see today. And it's also Toys for Tots. So the tickets, I believe, are $20.
That's right.
And it's $20 is well worth the entertainment you're going to get, but also this time of the year, the charity you're going to be giving. So that said, Tim, tell us the crux of, don't give it all away, but tell us the crux of the show.
Well, so the idea with the show, so it is a jazz show. So there's going to be a mix. We've got a fantastic trio together. We've got Ben Cohn on keys, Connor Meehan on drums, and then John Suter's on bass. They're all Berkshire guys.
Yeah.
They're going to be my jazz trio. We're going to be working together to do about 90 minutes of music. And it's almost entirely just the classics, just Christmas classics.
Wow.
Which is the music I love deeply. Yeah. I think the song that folks will hear, the latest year that anything in the show was written is probably like 74.
Wow.
It's really a lot of just Christmas classic music. It's the music that I love to hear. The second Thanksgiving hits is when I'll hit the play button before Thanksgiving, but it's when I can hit the play button with like the sound on, not just my headphones. Because this is just music that I listen to when I'm homesick. It doesn't even have anything to really do with the holidays. It just reminds me of home. And I'm glad to hear that you guys just got Snowfall, Bill, because that's the image in my head whenever I'm listening to this stuff is I think of North Street decorated. I think of the tree up in Park Square. And I just think of this music just sort of like floating, sort of disembodied through the streets of downtown Pittsfield. It's just me at my most content, and this is happening at a time where you know the Christmas Carol is on and at the Unicorn, so I'm just really glad that I can add a little bit to what the like holiday offerings are this year. I think it's going to be a really, really fun night. We've been working really hard on putting together a show that will be fun and a little nostalgic, and there will be some reminiscing involved. My partner Megan Mistretta is going to be joining me for some music. She's also a singer, so she's going to be doing some stuff. We'll be doing some stuff together, and the band is just going to be, at the end of the day, it's going to be a jazz show. They're going to be playing a lot of really great jazz. Cool. So we're going to be throwing it all over to each other. There's going to be singing. There's going to be piano and bass and drums. We're just going to be having a ball out there.
And you should be part of it. You should be part of it. Go and start the holiday season on a high note. There's so much negativity. Just quickly, it's talking about mine is Celine Dion. So This Is Christmas.
Mm-hmm.
I start that Thanksgiving morning in my shower.
Yep.
And I play it every day till the, I'm asked not to play it, or they hide my phone. One of the two. But no, I'm like you. I'm a big Christmas time guy. I really believe this year that people, let's come together. You know, this election has been very divisive, and you know, there's no reason for it. It is what it is.
And I think that things like music, and I don't know, because the guys that we've got together for the trio, you know, they're Berkshire guys. They play together. I know Andy Yerba puts together a lot of jazz nights around town. And I used to work at Mission. I was a bartender at Mission back when Mission was around for a while. And that's how I first met Andy, because he would come in and he would do Jazz Mondays. And that would sort of be my foray into listening to live jazz. There wasn't really anywhere else that I could go and listen to it. So I would be there at Mission working the bar, listening to Andy's trio or whoever he had in the bar that night, playing jazz. And it's just, I would never have thought then that I would be in a position to really understand enough the art form to sort of put on my own show with it. Like I said, I've been near and taught by such incredible, gracious, talented jazz musicians who've sort of opened this world up for me and taught me what it is like for them. And it's a love language. It sort of exists as its own language. So I'm really excited to be putting something on with these guys. The set that we've put together, I think we're going to have some fun.
You know, through the years, I've interviewed a lot of actors, and let me just give you a compliment. What you're doing is you're building your skill set. You know, each one of them said, well, I thought I was this. And then all of a sudden I was in a part where I had to be that. And all of a sudden, well, I'm this and that. And then I was in another, and I'm this and that, and boom. Mm-hmm. And you're pretty much the same as I sense. Now you've mastered, or you're mastering this jazz, you know, component of your total self.
I wish mastery were where I'm even close to at the moment, Bill. It's such a deep history art form that's been around for, you know, nearly 100 years. And there's so much to learn within. And so many of the musicians that I've worked with, they've been doing it for decades. And it's such beautiful work that they do, that it's sort of like I'm still sort of like dipping my toes in, because I've been a musician for a very long time and I've been a singer for a very long time. And applying it on top of this singular art form is really a beautiful thing, because it's so improvisational. And it's so, you know, the show that we are going to put on, by nature of its improvisational nature, will only exist that one night. Like, there will be no way to do that show exactly the way that we will do it ever again. And that's such an amazing part of it. It's such a moment in time, because of the way the musicians are going to be playing things maybe a little bit differently, the way that we might decide in the moment to sort of have some fun with something. It's just such a great way, I think, to leave it all up in the air. Like, we're all just sort of, it's going to be this balloon that sort of stays airborne for the entire night. I'm just so excited to get in there and put that on for people. And I think it's such a, on one hand, it's going to be such a classic night, because so much of the music is pulled from my own life, and a lot of the albums and movies that I grew up with in my household. And that's just the music, that's the soundtrack to my holidays. We grew up, I don't know why I was shown National Lampoon's Christmas Vacation as young as I was. I don't know if that was okay, but you know, it's one of the movies that we do every year. We do It's a Wonderful Life every year. It's just, these are the songs that just sort of accompany what the holidays mean to me, and Just love singing. I was singing it while I was waiting for us to get on this call, not because I was rehearsing, but just because I was listening to the music in the house earlier.
I think we follow a very old Polish tradition. It's depending on what part of Poland you were from, it's either Wigilia or Wielia. And it's where everyone comes together. It's family. Yeah. And there, you know, it's different now than when we were kids because we couldn't eat meat. But now, you know, we have the big Polish, all the Polish foods. Everybody comes, and they come from long and far away just to be there. And years ago, when my sister-in-law just couldn't do it anymore with the family homestead, we took it over. But there was talk about just let's let it go. And it was the young people, your age, who said, no, 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 this is our tradition. This is Christmas Eve. And I know when my experience in Vietnam, Christmas Eve was the hardest time because just away from family and friends.
I'm sure.
And the memory. I guess where I'm going with this is I'm so proud of you for keeping the memories of your childhood. And the pleasant memories too.
Yeah. And I think something that strangely enough, it's young people, I think, more than anybody else has, especially on the other side of the pandemic, where we're sort of, I feel that I, as well as a lot of people my age, are looking at a social situation that's more complicated than it was before. It's a lot more normal for many of us to be apart from our immediate families because a lot of, you know, you go to school, you move away, maybe to a different city, something like that. Not that that's a super new experience for a lot of Americans, but I think that there is this sentiment among people like me that at the end of the day, and you might not believe the sentence that's about to come out of my mouth, but the thing that I want more than anything is for everybody to take their phone and put it into a locked box and hide it somewhere in the basement for a weekend and just sort of like sit around and hang out with our loved ones.
Yeah, there's so many people, I'm sorry, there's just so many people who they have this. And they, you go out to a restaurant and you'll see mom and dad and the three kids, they all got their own phones. Nobody's talking.
Yeah. I have this dumb little song I'll sing whenever I'm in a group of people or I'm at lunch or whatever it is. And there comes this moment right around the 20 to 23 minute mark where it's six people and five of them have just taken their phone out and they're just, they've completely unsubscribed from each other. And in that moment, I'll just sing this little song. I'll just be like, six people and they're all on their phone. Like it's not a big deal. It's whatever, but it's, you know, we've all sort of agreed that we're not spending time with each other anymore for the next couple seconds. And that's always such a bizarre experience for me.
Yeah, no, it really is. And it's, I think it's, you're pretty young, you wouldn't have, but there's a book if you want to read it and you get time, it's called The Anxious Generation. And it really details how really technology can, yes, it's good, but boy, it can be bad.
Sure. And I, at the beginning of the show, I'm going to make it very clear because there is no conceivable way in my knowledge that I will be able to prevent my mother from taking videos of this concert. Like there's just nothing I can do about that. Right. She's going to want video. She's going to take video. And I want people to feel like they're not going to get in trouble for taping a show that hopefully they enjoy. But one thing that I really, really want for everybody to do in this room is to just take an hour and a half to just be with each other. And it's okay that this, take a photo, take a video, it's all good. Like no one's gonna get mad. I'm not gonna get upset. If anything, I'm flattered that people, if they want to have some memory of the thing that they watched. But I think it's okay sometimes for folks to feel like something can just live in your memory and have that be sweet. And yeah, it'll be through rose-colored glasses and it might not look quite the way that it did in your memory, but I think that's okay. I think that's actually kind of charming sometimes to just sort of sit and enjoy it in real time and know that you were there and the two of you were there present and not wondering,
absolutely,
I want this thing to look back on or this thing to show other people that I was there. And again, it's like no one's going to get in trouble or whatever. But I hope that we can have a room full of people who are just together listening to the music of the holidays and just enjoying each other's company.
Here's the advice I give people, and I've been doing it for a long time. All right, you're going to go and you're going to see Tim. Everybody's got stuff to do. Everybody's got problems. Everybody's put them all in a bag, wrap it up, tie a nice bow, and leave it outside the door. Go in, decompress, enjoy the show, come back out, because I promise you none of those things will be solved. You'll be able to worry about them all over again. No, and I mean that. People, when I would go to Tanglewood on a Sunday afternoon, it was like somebody letting the air out of a balloon.
Oh, sure.
You know, yeah. I very rarely ever sat in the shed. I would be out on the grass. I might have a New York Times. I don't know. Mm-hmm. Or I'd fall asleep.
Oh, yeah. I'd look at the stars. That's what I would.
Yeah. Yeah. So, I mean, this is an enjoyable time. Make it enjoyable. I know some people, it isn't enjoyable. I understand that. But for the majority of us, it's a good time.
Yeah.
To relax and enjoy. Go to these. Listen to the old Christmas carols.
Yeah.
You know, I applaud you for doing this, Tim. I really do. I think you're adding a lot to the city, and to the season, I meant to say. And you're putting the effort into it.
Well, thanks, Bill. I'm grateful to Tor Crowder and Kate McGuire and everybody over at BTG for giving me, again, as they always have, I owe everything to them, just giving me the opportunity to do something that I am interested in and that I think is fun. And I'm glad that they, from the outset, right, from when I suggested it, were on board with making it a benefit. At the end of the day, that was the thing that I wanted it to be. I wanted it to be us going and doing this thing that we're good at, and that at the end of that, someone will benefit from it who otherwise might not have. That's really the thing that we're, at the end of the day, that is what we are trying to do with it.
And a plug for the education program. Mm-hmm. They work with kiddos. They have a summer camp. They have through the year, and they work with kiddos who really need to see that side of life.
Yeah.
I'll leave it at that.
Yeah.
If it wasn't for Kate McGuire and their education program, same with Barrington, I will tell you some of the people that are in these programs today are now involved with the arts, whether it's in high school or whatever, would never have seen the inside of a theater.
Yeah.
Never have seen a live play. I can guarantee you that.
And many of them just involved with the arts within the local community, which is a fantastic way for them to transition into the feedback loop of that they were introduced to it within the context of their community. And then they give back in that same way to people who exist still within their community. It's a way of sort of continuing to give that gift to the young people who are now the young people, whereas we used to be the young people.
Oh, trust me, Tim.
Sorry, is it offensive that I refer to
Tim,
myself?
I got socks older than you are. You want to see them?
Sorry, Bill. I take it back. You and I as equally young people.
Yeah. Oh, thank you. But if I do anything to have your hair. But anyhow, it's Friday, December 13th. Get your tickets now. Now, let me just say this. Don't procrastinate. After you watch this program, you can call the Colonial Theater box office, get your $20 for 90 minutes of great entertainment. Put you in the holiday spirit or keep you in the holiday spirit. Walk out with a bounce in your step. Because, you know, no one's promised tomorrow. So I these people who say, well, I'm not going here because this or that. Let me just tell you, the same people may not be there next year. I lost my brother the Thursday before Thanksgiving. So that's all I'm saying. I don't want to be Debbie Downer. But go and enjoy life. Don't gripe about it. And this is one great way of doing it. You're giving is in the Christmas spirit, but you're also being entertained by someone who wants to entertain you and has the ability to entertain you. And I mean that, Tim. You're gifted, and that's something too. You are gifted, and I think that comes through when you act and when you're on the stage.
Thanks, Bill. And speaking of gifts, with us partnering with the Sheriff's Department, if folks are coming out, we're just asking that they bring an unwrapped gift for a kid under the age of 14.
All right.
Pass on to the Sheriff's Office, and then they'll be getting them to kids who need those in the Berkshires over the course of the holidays. So that's if people decide that they are going to join us on Friday, and we really hope that they do, that's something that furthermore we ask that they consider doing, so that we can help spread a little bit more joy to kids who might not be receiving as many gifts this year as they otherwise might.
Yeah, and there are, believe me, and I had to say this the other day with somebody. I had the Reverend from the church on South Street where they have the food pantry. There will be kids whose Christmas isn't probably like you remember yours. So what they're doing is they're trying to get an offset to get them the presents, to get them some joy in their Christmas. And I just think Toys for Tots, go back. The Marines have been doing it for a very long time. We give to it. Some of the churches are raising things. Now this Colonial piece, Tim's show, December 13th, 7:30, the Colonial in the garage, relaxed atmosphere. You'll just have a really, really good time. And the other piece will be, it will pull you out of the craziness that is associated with the holidays. You'll have 90 minutes of relaxation, entertainment, and who knows, maybe a sing-along. I don't know.
That'd be great.
I know Kate McGuire has a restraining order on me singing.
I can have a suspension institution here for you, Bill. I'll pull some strings.
You've never heard me sing, Tim. Believe me, I see that room like it was a fire drill. After this, what, back to New York after the holiday?
After that, we're back to New York. I'm part of the final closing cast of Sleep No More, closing on January 5th after a 14-year run. So we're gonna be tying the bow on that and seeing it off right just after the new year. So I will be a part of the cast that sends that show off.
Wow. That's good for people in Pittsfield to know too. That's really good for us to be aware of.
Sure.
How does that make you feel?
It makes me feel grateful for the opportunity that I was given. I mean, I naturally, just in keeping with the theme of my entire life, I owe that opportunity to Isadora Wolf. And I was sort of brought into that opportunity by virtue of my work with Berkshire Theater Group. It's sort of what put me close to those opportunities. And having been with the show for 2 years now, it's become part of me. I've grown a lot within it. It's part of what sort of pushed me to learn how to play the piano. I started writing while I was working with Sleep No More. It's sort of unlocked all of these additional things that I want to do with my creativity in a way that I will be grateful for the rest of my life. It's really changed me. And in a way, this holiday concert is kind of brought to you by the things I learned by accident working at Sleep No More. I sort of accidentally learned jazz by being around these guys and women in jazz. It just gave me access to art that I previously didn't have access for. So I'm really grateful for that. And the fact that I get to be a part of the very last show is very special. And I think that's going to stay with me for a very long time, that it's a moment in time that I'm very fortunate to be a part of.
Tim Jones, as you can tell, is a great guy. December 13th, 7:30, the Colonial. Get your tickets today. Don't procrastinate. Then you go, oh, Was that last night? Yes. So get your tickets today, please and thank you. Tim, I got a couple of announcements. You can stay or you can go. Thank you, my friend, and I look forward to seeing you.
Thanks, Bill. I'll stay. I want to hear you talk.
All right. Coming up, St. Mary's down in Lee. You know I'm a big supporter. They're having bingo Saturday, December the 14th, right after you get out of the show the next day. The doors open at 12 p.m. The game starts at 2. New times this year. All the money goes to support the school, St. Mary's School, and it's a wonderful education. Here's some quick dates for you. UPS, United Postal Service, United States Postal Service, the coming up ground, UPS next day air, 23rd is the last day. 22nd, UPS, second day, the 20th, and third day, the 19th. So don't procrastinate getting your things to the church, to the post office. The United Church of Christ, Pittsfield, they're having a fundraiser. If you would commit, they're going to give gift certificates to people who are in need because the pantry is going to be kind of fluctuating, open and closed. We know a lot of stores are going to be closed. So they're giving these gift certificates now so the people who would normally go to the pantry or whatever need food for the holidays, they will have it. You can contribute by sending a check right on it, food pantry on the memo, to 110 South Street, United Church of Christ, Pittsfield. And it's just help them out. They're doing a wonderful, wonderful. And Mary Wheat, I wish you the very best of Christmases. Also, in closing, there is an event to honor Joe Wachowski. Joe's been a long-term referee, was a St. Joe football player back in the days when, they had leather helmets, but no, they didn't have. Will be held on Sunday, December the 22nd, Berkshire Hills Country Club, 1 to 4. The cost is $25 per person, with $5 going to the Monday Morning Quarterback Club. That's it. God bless. And remember, today, lift somebody's burden. Make somebody smile. Give somebody a call. We're in this together. We need each other. Talk to you soon. Tim, break a leg.
Mr. Surgeon.
But, you know, be well. Take care, buddy.
You as well. Thank you.
Bye, folks. Keep on.